During the past few weeks, with all of our new WKZO facilities taking shape, well, we've all been pretty busy around here and pretty excited about it all. In fact, we've been up in the air like a barefoot boy in a tack factory. And, well, of course, something new like this block-long Radio City is bound to leak out. It even got to some of our friends in New York, Washington, and Hollywood, and they asked to be included in tonight's program. So, first to Hollywood for greetings from CBS at Columbia Square.
This is Frank Goss with a salute from CBS in Hollywood to WKZO in Kalamazoo on the opening of its new block-long Radio City. We're making a tour of Columbia Square to find out what some of the CBS stars are saying about the big event. First, that famous comedian of our Miss Brooks would like to have a word with you.
This is Eve Arden. I wonder if you realize that from now on, our Miss Brooks will come to you through the brand new Radio City of WKZO in the Burdick Hotel. I've always had a soft spot in my heart for Kalamazoo, especially in the winter. That's where I learned to love California. I know you don't have anything to do now until spring, except listen to your favorite station, WKZO. And all of us hope that one of the shows you'll plan to hear regularly will be Our Miss Brooks. Again, congratulations to WKZO.
Now let's pop over to Studio 4 and meet a singing star who's been a radio guest in your home many times, I'm sure.
Hello, this is Harry Babbitt. A few years back, I used to sing a song that went, K-A-L-A-M-A-Z-O-O, what a gal. Do you remember it? And right now, I'd like to join you folks in Kalamazoo to sing the praises of that new Radio City WKZO has built in the Burdick Hotel. Out here at Columbia Square in Hollywood, we're all wishing you well and hoping that WKZO will add many more successful years to its record of service to Kalamazoo.
Thanks, Harry. Say, here's a break. We caught this fellow on the trail of a hot clue in his latest mystery.
Marlowe's the name, Philip Marlowe, Private Eye. I've got my eye on you, Kalamazoo. But then haven't we all? Your station, WKZO, is really going places, I hear. Oh, and I hear you just built a new Radio City, a block long on the second floor of the Burdick Hotel. And there have been a lot of second-story jobs in my time, but this one's got them all beat 40 ways. I'll keep my dial set for WKZO from here on out. And if you should happen to keep your dial set for me on Sundays, well, that'll be all right, too. Oh, by the way, I'm sending along my special congratulations to Mr. John E. Fetzer and all the staff of WKZO. That's all, except good luck.
And speaking of mysteries, let's drop in at my friend Irma's and investigate that vacant look on the girlfriend's face.
Irma? Irma Peterson.
Huh? Oh, yes, Jane. Jane Stacy.
What are you daydreaming about anyway?
Well, Jane, I just heard that WKZO has built a new Radio City in the Burdick Hotel in Kalamazoo.
Well, I can't think of a better place to build it.
And they tell me they've even got a cylindrical studio.
Really?
I'm so really happy for Polly.
Polly who?
Polly Cylindrical. I've known Polly a long time, and I think she's the finest studio I've ever met. She's really got what it takes, Jane, including one of the biggest seating capacities in the Middle West. I wonder if those Kalamazooers realize how lucky they are. I suppose they do, but it's fun wondering if they do.
That's my friend Irma, a girl who makes Monday night a good night to stay home and listen to WKZO. And a girl who sends along her very best wishes to all of you in Kalamazoo, and especially to the whole staff of WKZO.
Finally, we visit the executive offices to hear from Mr. Donald W. Thornburg, CBS Vice President in charge of the Western Division.
We feel WKZO's new facilities represent a significant advance for broadcasting in Kalamazoo. With its four new ultra-modern floating studios, WKZO can look forward to even greater service to the community. As a long-standing personal friend of John Fetzer, the president and general manager of WKZO, I know that that service will be conscientious, enduring, and of the highest caliber. I share in the exciting prospect of new radio horizons such as are opening up now to you people in Kalamazoo. On behalf of the Columbia Broadcasting System, congratulations to the staff of WKZO and best wishes for a bright radio future.
And that goes for all of us here in Hollywood, to all the staff and listeners of WKZO in Kalamazoo. More power to you. From CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Thank you, CBS in Hollywood, for all of those nice remarks. We hear next from CBS personalities in New York. Mr. Frank Stanton, president of CBS. Mr. Ed Murrow, Lowell Thomas, and the distinguished music critic and commentator, Mr. Deems Taylor. Okay, let's hear from New York.
I want to add hearty congratulations on behalf of the Columbia Broadcasting System to the many you are receiving as you place in operation your new studios and new engineering facilities for WKZO and WJEF. The Fetzer Broadcasting Company has long been recognized as one of the most forward-looking broadcasting companies in the country, and this dedication is additional evidence of your desire to put the best equipment in the service of your listeners. Those who can recall the days in 1923 when WKZO began operations can compare the new facilities of today. For the last 8 years, we at CBS have had WKZO as an affiliate, and for the last 3 years, WJEF. We look forward to the continued joining of our schedule of network programs with your own local features in the service of your many listeners. I would like to add my own personal greetings to John Fetzer, an old friend. We have been closely associated not only in the relationship of network and station, but also on the board of directors of the National Association of Broadcasters. I know that John Fetzer knows broadcasting, and I am proud to salute him on this occasion in the history of his company. My congratulations and all good wishes.
This is Ed Murrow saying greetings and good luck to the Fetzer Broadcasting Company and all our CBS friends in Western Michigan. I hear that WKZO's new block-long radio city is just about the smartest thing in the country. And I want to send along my greetings to John Fetzer and his crew. Hope to come out and see you all when the apple blossoms are in bloom.
This is Lowell Thomas with greetings and best wishes to the Fetzer Broadcasting Company. The new block-long radio city in Kalamazoo surely is something that residents of Western Michigan, and John Fetzer, of course, ought to be proud of. And so are we of CBS. We are proud of radio station WKZO. Congratulations to John Fetzer and to all the staff of WKZO from all of us on the Columbia Network. And now, this is Lowell Thomas saying so long.
How do you do, ladies and gentlemen? This is Deems Taylor. I'm your host every Sunday afternoon on the broadcasts of the New York Philharmonic Symphony Orchestra, which you hear over WKZO. And I'm glad to announce to all of Kalamazoo's Philharmonic listeners that on January 30th, the sponsor of the Philharmonic broadcasts, Standard Oil Company, New Jersey, is going to welcome a Kalamazoo High School student as one of its guests in New York for an exciting weekend with music. We all look forward to entertaining this young visitor, whom you'll hear interviewed from New York on January 30th. Greetings to all WKZO listeners, and congratulations to John Fetzer and his staff on the station's fine new studios.
Thank you, CBS in New York. And now, here with us tonight is the person of whom Deems Taylor spoke. He is Douglas Johnson of Kalamazoo. How do you feel about this, Douglas?
Well, I'm certainly happy to be here tonight and proud of the honor that's been granted me. I know I'll enjoy my visit with Mr. Taylor in New York.
I'm sure you will. And now, another good friend who expressed the desire to participate in our grand opening is our esteemed senator from Michigan, Arthur Vandenberg. He's taking time out from his many duties to send a word of greeting. So, speaking from Washington, here is Senator Vandenberg.
I am happy for the privilege of joining today in congratulations to my cherished friend, John E. Fetzer, upon this important day in the radio history of Michigan and his great contribution to it. The man himself is one of the pioneer broadcasters of the United States. He has rendered distinguished radio service to his country and his government in both war and peace. In the same spirit of public service, he has developed his stations WKZO in Kalamazoo and WJEF in Grand Rapids. Their significant success is its own unimpeachable tribute to the sense of high public dedication with which they are operated. Today, Mr. Fetzer celebrates the opening of his block-long Radio City for WKZO in Kalamazoo, where it will also serve as a point of origin for important programs over its sister station, WJEF, in Grand Rapids. This block-long Radio City is the last word in radio equipment and accommodation, symbolizing all of the amazing technical progress which radio has made in its recent miraculous years. It is a fitting climax to the meteoric rise of the Fetzer Enterprise. From a humble little 500-watt daytime station with a wooden pole antenna and with a one-room studio, it is now a 5,000-watt full-time station, which opens today one of the finest last-word block-long radio service stations in the United States. Radio as a whole is one of the greatest examples of what individual initiative and effort can do through free enterprise to develop vast institutions of public advantage to serve the common welfare. All radio, like all citizenship, will join in today's felicitations to Mr. Fetzer.
Thank you, Senator Vandenberg, for those glowing words. Well, we've gotten greetings, that is, we at WKZO, but now come greetings to you, our listeners, the people of Kalamazoo and Western Michigan, from no less a person than the mayor of Los Angeles, California, the Honorable Fletcher Ballron. So out west we go again to station KMPC in Hollywood and Mayor Ballron.
As mayor of the city of Los Angeles, I want to congratulate not only the owner and staff of WKZO and their splendid new studios, but the people of Kalamazoo as well. While it's true that the physical plant of a radio station is private property, it is recognized by law that the medium in which it operates belongs to the people. And when a radio station expands its physical plant, its studios, and its equipment, it is tangible evidence that its programs are pleasing to the people. Such a station is offering not only entertainment, but performing an important public service. To draw upon my own personal experience in our city of more than 2 million persons in the center of a metropolitan area of more than twice that population, all departments of local government have found radio to be invaluable in disseminating information rapidly to a large proportion of the population. In this respect, KMPC has been outstanding in its cooperation. I cite it as an example of how useful an instrument of public service a radio station can be to a community. Most of us can remember where radio started, from what of a strange toy operated in lofts of garages and drab spare rooms in office buildings. In little more than two decades, radio has grown to become a vital part of our American life. When we value something, we tend to place it in attractive surroundings. This is increasingly true of radio. In cities all over the land, radio studios are becoming examples of fine modern architecture and furnishings, points of civic pride which we show proudly to visitors. It is proper and significant that this be so. Radio has been elevated to the position of prestige and service it now enjoys through the efforts and judgment of such executives as John E. Fetzer, owner of WKZO and its sister station, WJEF, in Grand Rapids. The members of the Los Angeles Advertising Club remember with pleasure the visit of Mr. Fetzer to our city 2 years ago. He addressed the club on his experiences in Europe, where he made a 13,000-mile inspection tour of European communications with other leading American broadcasting executives at the invitation of General Eisenhower. It is small wonder that WKZO, under Mr. Fetzer's leadership, has been able to expand to the point where it needs this fine new block-long radio city in which to operate. I offer my sincere good wishes to WKZO for continued success and further contributions to the broadcasting industry.
Thank you, Mayor Ballron of Los Angeles. And now, what's that? Oh, someone else wants to say hello from Hollywood, huh? Is the Hollywood line still open? Swell, put them on.
Hi there, Western Michigan. This is Jack Carson. I want to congratulate the Fetzer Broadcasting Company on the great forward step it has taken in radio. This new block-long radio city in Kalamazoo is really something to be proud of, John Fetzer. And believe me, we of CBS are just as proud as you are to have you on the Columbia Network.
Hi there, Western Michigan.
Yeah, hi, everybody.
This here's Lum and Abner, and we want to congratulate the Fetzer Broadcasting Company on the great forward step it took in radio.
Amen. I dog is your new block-long radio city in Kalamazoo is really something to be proud of, John Fetzer.
Honoring us with his presence here tonight is a man who speaks not only as the head of our city's government and as a business leader of the community, but also as a friend of Mr. Fetzer. And here with the message that we're mighty anxious to hear is Kalamazoo's genial mayor, Henry Ford, Jr.
The opening of a new block-long radio city is an occasion of importance and significance to Kalamazoo, and I'm happy, therefore, to join in this dedication program. We in Kalamazoo think of WKZO as our radio station, even though we are aware that it serves a large area in western Michigan. Back in 1930, when John Fetzer established a broadcasting station in Kalamazoo, we were in the midst of the dark days of the Great Depression. It required courage and confidence in the future to overcome all the obstacles which this project encountered. Before long, we came to rely on WKZO for many services to the community, and they've been rendered down through the years most generously. Every important civic project has received enthusiastic support from WKZO. These splendid new facilities will enable WKZO to make an even greater contribution to our civic life. Many of our citizens will participate in programs emanating from these modern studios, and many more will want to see them and show them to out-of-town visitors. I have been especially impressed by the beautifully appointed reception room and the photo murals which depict many of our finest civic buildings. Because of the significance of this event to all of the people of our community, I hereby proclaim the week starting tomorrow, January 2nd, WKZO Week in Kalamazoo. To John Fetzer and the entire staff, may I extend on behalf of the people of Kalamazoo hearty felicitations.
And now, just as the star of a radio or stage show has an important scene written for him, here's the spot reserved for the star of our company. Here is the man who has made all this possible, the man whose idea back in 1931 founded this broadcasting company, whose business experience and integrity have helped greatly to shape the entire broadcasting industry nationwide. Our president and general manager, Mr. John E. Fetzer.
Thank you, Tony Gaston. As I have listened to the remarks of our distinguished friends in Kalamazoo, New York, Washington, and Hollywood, I must confess that I have been profoundly impressed by the expressions of goodwill. In the dedication of this fine new radio city, it not only is a time for good fellowship, but an opportunity to review the larger horizons affecting the national interest of our people, the very people who listen to American radio. Permit me to illustrate. In the immediate historical past, incredible strides have been made in the advancement of art, science, and invention. harnessing the powers of nature and converting abundant resources into things of usefulness, man has built a new and vastly improved physical world. In the fields of transportation and communication, he has risen above the barriers of geography and space and has widened his horizon to the full circle of the earth. Among all the products of man's inventive genius, none has contributed more to the enjoyment and welfare of mankind than radio. From its inception, American radio has been synonymous with freedom. Freedom of speech, freedom of religion, freedom of government subsidy or domination. And also it has brought to the nation swiftly and accurately entertainment, education, and a variety of programs and news from every part of the earth. It has promoted free discussion of public issues of the day, and it has carried the voices of leaders in and out of government to the furthermost parts of the world. In short, it has annihilated all space and made the world one half second wide. So long as we enjoy our traditional system of radio, the people of this country can be assured of remaining the best informed people in the world. By keeping our radio free, we can continue to bring you the voice of a president and that of his opponent. We can continue to present the voice of a minister, priest, or rabbi. We can remain free to bring you the many voices that make America a fortress of freedom and a powerful arsenal of democracy in the war against totalitarianism and all for which it stands. A free radio is a vibrant and useful servant, but in the control of an evil and distorted master becomes a vicious element of destruction. Today, in many parts of the world, radio has become a new and deadly propaganda weapon, more deadly than the tank or the long-range gun or even an atomic bomb. Wielding the power of radio, ambitious and unscrupulous persons have destroyed men's freedoms. Seizing radio, they have used it to create distrust, to breed suspicion and hatred, to undermine men's faith and hope and courage, and to spread lies which cause mass populations to rise up against each other. Thus has the light of humanity and the light of human liberty gone out in one country after another. In America, we have come to the unhappy realization that we too may lose our cherished freedoms unless we protect them. The process we are facing is a subtle undermining of our whole confidence in our national life, the breaking down of our faith in decency and in human respect, the substitution of cynicism for fair dealing, and fomenting of group hatred, and the destruction of cooperation and national unity. This profounder issue calls for clear judgment and for action as effective as that of its enemies. Powerful radio voices need become the clarion call for every free institution in America. We need tell the world that our forefathers sprang from a common heritage abroad, and in many cases left the shores of a despotic homeland to come to America in order that we might breathe the breath of life. That they came to these shores to fulfill a dream that man could one day speak the thoughts of his own choosing, or could stroll through the streets at night unafraid, or could speak to his own God in his own church without fear and trembling. That great strength, a youthful heart, vast enterprise and hard work created a newfound freedom. And from that freedom sprang the democratic institutions of America, representing the greatest free people on earth. Such a program and lofty purpose is synonymous with the rights we exercise here tonight. The right to say and think what we please. The right to work and build as we please. Yes, even the right to plan and construct this great block-long radio city as an expression of faith in the future of our city and state. It therefore becomes my duty and privilege to dedicate the new WKZO, that it shall broadcast in the best tradition, entertainment, education, public affairs, religion, drama, and world news, that it shall foster national unity, democratic understanding, and world peace, that in so doing it shall recognize without compromise the dignity and the brotherhood of man, and that it shall give unstintingly its time and talent to the service of the community, the state, and the nation.
This has been WKZO's salute to the people of Western Michigan, our tribute to you, our listeners, on the occasion of the grand opening of WKZO's new block-long Radio City. From our new location on the second floor of the Burdick Hotel in Kalamazoo, we'll be observing WKZO Week for the next 6 days, with many more programs of a special dedicatory nature. We hope you'll be tuned in for WKZO Week, for 1949, and for the years ahead.
Tonight, you heard the orchestra conducted by Elwin Carter, with music especially written and arranged for this occasion by Holland Matthews. Portions of the program were transcribed, and the voices from yesterday were from the Columbia new feature album, I Can Hear It Now. The program was written and directed by Eddie McKeon.
This is Harry Travis speaking from WKZO's new block-long Radio City in Kalamazoo, and this is the Fetzer Broadcasting Company.